Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Role Watcher podcast. Today, Sam and I are joined by a really special guest, Sarah, who we've been following for quite a few years on social media. This is our first time having a proper conversation together. And Sarah, could you just give a brief introduction of yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Sarah. I run the New York City Royal Watcher account on Instagram. I don't have a blog or anything great like you, but it's just something fun to do, kind of like a hobby, nothing too serious. I've been running the account for, I believe, 8 years, and yeah, it's been fun. I've followed the royal family since I want to say I'm 8 years old, but probably more around like 10-ish. The first royal wedding that I've ever watched was Prince Andrew and Fergie, just to give you like an idea of when that began. And it just took off from there.
That's amazing. I think for me, just seeing your account and the kind of breadth of royals that you cover and the different kind of things that, because I'm very kind of specifically focused on one or two things a day, but you cover so many like different aspects of royalty, and it's so fun to watch and learn from kind of your experience and your opinions on things that are so informative.
Yeah, I feel like because as you know, as some people may know, Sada and I used to have the same handle. So I feel like some people
Yeah.
got confused and I felt bad because I'm more opinion. I feel like I give more opinions and Sada doesn't, and I'm hoping you didn't get in trouble for some of my opinions if they thought that
No,
we were the same
not at all.
people. But yeah, I really growing up, I really only knew about the British royals and the Monegasque royals. Like here in the US, it was like Princess Grace's family and the British royals. So as I grew older, and back in the olden days when I was young, we didn't have internet. So to get any information, it was going to the library or reading magazines at the supermarket checkout line. And if I was lucky enough, my mother allowed me to buy one. Or the news or whatever. So it was, as I grew older, I learned about all these other royal families that existed around the world. And it was really, really exciting. So it's been fun to cover. I try to cover most of them. Not all of them. I just don't have the time. I wish that I did. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I think one of my favorite parts about following you is at the end of the day, I just go through your Instagram stories and you have like a rundown of everything that's happened that day. So I feel like I'm all caught up on every single family. If I
Yeah.
miss something, I would love that.
I used to do a lot of posts, and posts for me are very time consuming. I don't know why, but for me they are. And I'm busy. I have a job, I have a family, I have everything. I don't have time to do like a lot of posts, but stories are great because you can, send them from anybody else's account. You can share, not send them, share them from official accounts, from other fan accounts that do like really great reels and collages of things. And you do. I feel like I'm all caught up at the end of the day because I can go through each. I try to, like, in my mind, go through each royal family and visit their accounts, see what they've done for the day, share it, sometimes give opinions on things. So I just feel like it's an easy way to get things out there. And the same, but people have told me that too. People that follow me say that they feel like they're all caught up. And I feel like I'm all caught up too,
It's really, I think you're doing a lot, really important service in that sense that, and just being able to go through that is really fun for some people. And
Thank
then having your
you.
opinions in between is just lovely.
Thank you.
So, how has kind of your family, do they like the royals? Are they kind of, do they participate with you in your hobby, or are they just kind of, you just reel them with facts and they're not as interested?
They could kind of care less. The only time that they care is when there's drama going on, like this past week. Do you know the amount of texts and phone calls that I've received from the many members of my family just asking what's going on? But on the whole, they don't really, they don't care. They think I'm a nut. just to give you an idea. But I'll say my kids think it's very cool that I have so many followers. I mean, I don't have as many followers as some other really big accounts, but that's what they kind of like to not brag, but just say like my mom, but they're probably embarrassed to tell them what the subject I talk about. I feel like in America, especially like in the States, you have people that are really like them, people that don't really care, and people that are just like, we got rid of them in 1776. Like, why on earth are you talking about them? So I feel like that's kind of where my family lies, but they support my little obsession and my hobby. They don't, sometimes they'll make fun of me, but for the most part, no, they don't really care. This week they've cared. The past couple months they've cared, but you probably understand why.
No, definitely. And I think it's the same thing with my family. They couldn't care less. But when there's drama, like my parents call me, my siblings call me, they're like, what's happening with this? And I'm like, well, now you're finally interested.
They only care about the drama.
Definitely. I think like I think at this point it's like 8,000 articles, but I doubt my family collectively has even read five of them. So it's very much one of those things where our families don't necessarily aren't against it, but they couldn't really care less.
Yeah, pretty much. Even though my son's been away at school, I did change his I'm I we like we're sharing a desk down in the basement, but I've been ho working from home more, so I have transformed his desk into my desk, and he came home and he's like, "What did you do?" Because I have like royal stuff all over it. My mouse pad is like the Union Jack. So he just kind of rolled his eyes, and I told him he's not allowed to change it back while he's away.
Well, I mean, there's some privileges, so now that he's gone, that's lovely. So, how long, in the past kind of couple of decades that you've been following the royal family, you're talking about in the past it used to be more, I'm just capped by magazine and stuff, but do you think that it was easier in a sense to kind of dissect information in those days rather than now when we have kind of all these different angles, or was it more of a like you have something written down and you just have to believe it?
I feel like it's a lot easier now, if that makes any sense. It's good and it's bad because back then there was no social media. So you kind of took what they said and that's the way it was. Where now there's so many people with so many different opinions, and you don't really know what's true and what's not true. And, yeah, I mean, in a way, I don't know how to answer that. I guess I personally prefer now just because everything is so instant and you get that instant news. But there was no, I don't know if the word drama is right. There's not as many opinions back
Exactly.
then.
It's harder to filter out the opinions these days when you
Yes.
have something like so sudden, whereas in the past you had like if an event happened, most people like in other parts of the world wouldn't find out about it for a couple of weeks even because it took so much time with magazines and things to the pictures be published, whereas now it's live and you can follow every royal event from every angle wherever you are. So that makes it a lot kind of harder to form kind of solid opinions and have that time between being informed about something to kind of understand what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree.
Now and I think in the next slide, as when we wanted to really talk about how much do you think royal watching has changed since you started your account to now, when we have kind of a couple of different platforms and new creators. And again, there's so many different opinions, but very little of them, in my opinion, kind of contribute anything relevant to the
100%.
conversation. And so it's very hard to dissect that information, but I just wanted to know kind of what your thoughts are on the past kind of decade or so of royal watching, how it's changed.
I feel like in the very, I have to say, like I followed up until like a little bit after Princess Diana died. And then once William got married is when my interest sparked back up again. And I would say from then, and back then that social media wasn't like super, it wasn't big. There wasn't like Instagram wasn't big. Twitter wasn't big. And I feel like over the past, but even when it did, you know, people were on, okay, let's just say from the past 8 years that I've been on social media. I've been on social media for longer than that, but just from running my account for the past 8 years, there's been a huge shift, like huge. I feel like it was much more peaceful. Yes, there were trolls and all this other stuff, but now it's like you said, there's so many platforms. There's so many different people who spout off nonsense just to get, you know, I think they're getting paid. I mean, right? If you get the view, you start making money.
Yeah, with the career fund, they're definitely getting paid.
You know, so you have all these people. I feel like there's many more keyboard warriors, people that just say stuff to dramatic.
Like cause a reaction in the sense.
So yeah, yes. I'm getting a little sad. Sometimes words just escape my head, but yes. And I feel like nobody does any research.
Yeah.
Nobody fact checks. They just, the minute they see, they don't even read an article. Like they'll see a title of an article and go off from that. I even saw it the other day with a reporter who wrote, this is why I have to stay off Twitter because I just can't take it there anymore. But just, you know, and these are people that have really big platforms, like millions of followers, that just put stuff out there that isn't true. And I feel like there's so many people that do that now. I feel like it wasn't like that 8 years ago. I feel like everything was really, really peaceful. And I hate to say it, I feel like everything started to change in 2018. And I think you can put two and two together. It has become incredibly difficult. It's very difficult to filter out all the nonsense and the negativity on social media. There's so many sides, people, not so many, there's two sides. And I'm not saying everybody is bad and everybody is negative and everybody is toxic, but there are factions in each side, either the British royal family side or, you know, the Meghan and Harry side, that are just constantly fighting, constantly at war with each other, constantly, you know, making up false stories. I mean, you've been on Twitter and you've seen it. It's just really horrific and it's really disappointing. And I feel like there's so many people that keep saying, I miss the way that it was, like, and really scared it's never going to go back there, because it's very hard to filter out all these people with their opinions. I mean, my son came home from school, from college, he goes away and he's like, hey mom, what happened to Kate Middleton? I heard she's in a coma or she's dead and Prince William did it. And I was like, excuse me, where'd you hear that? And he's like, TikTok. Yeah. And I said, okay, well, first of all, that's not true. But of course he has to, you know, goad me and drive me crazy. But it's like, I just feel like it's not the same. It's changed so much since 2018, not even the past decade, since 2018. What is that, 6 years ago? It has changed for the worse. It's really disheartening to see like what this royal watching community has become. I mean, is that a good answer to your question? I don't know. Is that what you're asking
perfect.
Me?
Or am I? No, that is exactly what I was asking. So well. No, I think definitely kind of the one word I'd use to describe it is toxic.
Yes.
And the one that kind of, because I had no personal social media even before I started the Royal Watcher account. So these are my first social media accounts ever. And I've seen that shift from 2016 when I started following. And then in 2018 and the way it's began a shift, but then the factions that have created now and the constant fighting. And in those days, I think the main difference is that had no impact on the royal family. It was just Twitter rumors, or it was not like viral stuff. Whereas now, I think any like rumors started by these fandoms, they reach the media, and the royals themselves are impacted by it to the point where they have to react, in a sense, and it does impact their day-to-day life in a way it did not a couple of years ago. And I think that's really the main change from on the social media landscape, whereas now it kind of has the power to force the royal family to act in certain ways just to appease like the Bing mob on Twitter rather than being able to kind of do what they've been doing.
Yeah, I agree. It's become so toxic. And do you feel that the royal family have to act, or do you think that they should just remain silent?
I'm very much on the remain silent thing, because I feel the more they act and they give a reaction, it creates more and more kind of fodder for these type of people to comment on, and they nitpick. And as we'll discuss a bit when we talk about the illnesses, it gives people the opportunity to kind of get even deeper into something, which is, if they were, it was one tweet and they're speculating about it, it was in mid of a passing comment, but once the royal family reacts, it gives them an opportunity to come back to it and kind of create more of a fuss about something that it's maybe just better if they had ignored it.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like people are split on that. But
Definitely.
Honestly, especially the way that, I mean, I'm sure we'll discuss this later, but I feel like Prince William, I love that he just doesn't care. He doesn't give a F, and he's not kowtowing to what, you know, trolls are saying on social media or the media itself.
No, definitely. And that's, I think, one of the things where we can be have some sort of hope for the future, in that the way kind of their social media strategy has been all over the place for the past couple of years. But generally, William and Kate, like we saw last year with him not going to that football match and that controversy that created, and he was very adamant that he was not going to kind of bow down to that pressure. And he's continued to kind of stick to his decisions. But I think on one of the other aspects of, you were talking about these social media creators and them becoming, having all these millions of followers. Nowadays, kind of, whereas when we kind of started, we kind of did it from a place where we enjoyed royalty, following them, the events and that sort of thing. And we weren't necessarily looking for followings or clout or making a living out of it. And that just like came naturally, in a sense. And it wasn't our main reasoning behind doing this. But nowadays, people are constantly on the lookout for the next viral video, and that's how they're going to monetize this. And that's why they create such outrageous content without kind of realizing the impact it has in spreading the misinformation everywhere about it.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. And it kills me that they have these huge platforms and so many people believe it. They believe it. And it's like nobody does their research. Nobody reads an article. Like, they just go by the headline. And it does, it makes it, it does have an impact on them. It does. I can't, and you know, people say, oh, they stay off social media. Maybe they do, but so many people now have like bad opinions about things that are lies. And I can't imagine that it doesn't affect them.
Yeah. Like, I remember in 2021 when Prince Philip passed away, and until then, like, I usually keep my royal side and my actual personal life quite separate, because very few of my friends are interested in that sort of thing. But I saw that people were posting misinformation about how Prince Philip was an evil person and all of his misdeeds. And it kind of was shocking, in a sense of how much, like, because there's, we live in a bubble and the royal watching world where we kind of know a lot of things about royals and what they've done, and because we kind of see it on a day-to-day basis. But normal people that aren't into it, they just kind of read the headline and they believe it. So I was seeing how that misinformation was being spread, and that's the first time I realized that TikTok had such a big impact on the way people were making videos and celebrating. And it was very undignified behavior in a way that we hadn't seen before, and it's gone more and more out of control ever since.
Agree. It's really been bad, and there's so many people that are on TikTok, and there's so many people that watch it, and there's so many people that believe, you know, these false stories from these people that literally are making money off of hate and drama and everything else. That's why, like, I'm almost glad Kate has been gone for 3 months, because a lot of these people exist and make their money off of her. She is their cash cow. So they get to bitch and whine and complain and make fun of her and everything else. There's one particular person. She actually blocked me because I called her out. I won't say her name, but
I know who you're talking about.
She's got millions of followers. And it's like, but I have to say, I will give her credit. She did not go into all the conspiracy theory stuff. Even she knew that it was crazy enough that she didn't get involved. But for everything else, it's everybody is drama, drama, drama. The more drama, the better. Not realizing that they're talking about like real people and there are real repercussions about this.
Exactly. You know,
so I'm glad that they're almost being starved. I mean, not for like us people that actually like Kate and the royal family and all that. I feel bad for them that maybe they don't have content, but the people that make money off of hating her, I am so glad. I hope she takes off the rest of the year. I mean, really, take off longer, Kate. We'll be back. We'll be here for you when you return. Seriously.
It's that's one of the things that I really feel like I'm very neutral. So I don't like on social media, I kind of ignore all comments, never really give an opinion. But I know that you do reply to a bunch of the comments, and I've seen that on Twitter and places. And Sam is very vocal about kind of calling people out for their misuse. How do you think that kind of affects you on a day-to-day basis? Like, do you think, because for a lot of people, there's like so much vitriol that's been piled on. And in the factions, one of the newer ones that we've been seeing the past year or so has been the factions pitting the Waleses against the king and queen. And that has been kind of, in a sense, as toxic. And I feel that's part of the whole, it's part of the wider conversation, but it's not as highlighted because it's not as major of an issue as the Waleses against the Sussexes.
Yeah, I'm actually embarrassed to say that it affects me like mentally and physically, and it shouldn't because I don't know these people in real life. But I have to, after that, the Oprah interview, I literally took off a month because when I see people talking crap, it literally burns inside me. I don't know what the right word is. It literally makes it raises my blood pressure. And I was like, this is not healthy for me. So seeing, it's one thing for like the Wales fans and the Sussex fans going at each other. And it's not all Wales fans. It's a particular faction that just don't like H&M. But it's, you know, seeing this Wales versus the King is just, to me, there's like literally no proof. Like, where did this even come from? I feel like people want to invent, you know, this controversy and this pitting each other against each other, but I just don't know why, because they don't have, you know, Meghan and Harry to beat with a stick anymore. Well, now guess what? We're going to pit William against, you know, King Charles. And I just don't understand that. There's literally no proof. Like they haven't done anything to each other to make me think that that they hate each other and they're out to get each other. You know, I just don't, I mean, have you seen where this has come from? I don't understand it. I don't.
I think you've hit the nail on the mark that these people were formerly Harry and Meghan hate accounts in a sense. And they were kind of starved by content because Harry and Meghan, for all their kind of stuff they've done, they aren't necessarily out on a daily basis or giving these sorts of people any content. So when they needed something new to, again, run their whole kind of hate campaigns, they decided to go against the Waleses. And I think that has a much more damaging kind of impact because I know a lot of the, like, the middle ground fans of, like, the royal family and not of the people in particular, they were so turned off by that I've seen them, like, attacking Charles and Camilla because of that. Or William and Kate, and I've seen them become radicalized just because of the way these kind of weird factions have been behaving, and it's gone quite ridiculous.
It's crazy. I don't see it on Instagram, but I see it on Twitter.
Oh, definitely.
And not even on TikTok. Mainly Twitter. Twitter is like the worst. It's like the cesspool of all social media, in my opinion. I don't understand how they think that the two of them are out to get each other.
And yeah, no, and
you know, even with Kate, you know, being out, and people are saying like William's not stepping up, and why is Camilla doing things and not William? If anything, that just shows me that Charles knows that William needs to be there for his family, and you know, to take his time and let Camilla take over. Maybe Camilla said, listen, you guys need to, you know, be together. William, you need to be there for your family. I'll take over whatever needs to be done. Because I've been hearing, like, why is William not doing air things? Like, why is Camilla doing things that William should be doing? And I feel, and why, because Prince Philip never like filled in for, that's the other thing. Like Prince Philip has never filled in for Queen Elizabeth, but Queen Elizabeth, you know, Charles filled in for Queen Elizabeth, not Prince Philip. But I feel like they're also different ages when they kind of took over. Like Prince Philip, you know, was prince consort for, you know, since Queen Elizabeth was 25 years old. You know, he retired when he was what, 90? So he didn't really, I mean, Queen Elizabeth worked until the end. So Charles kind of took over towards the tail end when Prince Philip really wasn't doing anything anymore. Whereas Charles took over when he was 70, 74, 75. Well, he just turned 75.
73, I believe, when he took over.
And, yeah. So when he became king, so it's a little bit different.
It really is, yeah. And with Philip, in a sense, I think if you look at the 50s and 60s, he used to represent the queen on tours and that sort of thing, then undertake those engagements. Those are not in people's collective memory anymore. So that has a big impact on how they view Camilla taking over as something new when it's just kind of part of what's been happening in the royal family for
generations. I just don't see it. I don't see where it's coming from. And like you said, I think people now have to manufacture this rivalry because the Sussexes are gone and they don't have anybody to, like, literally, you know, figuratively be with a stick. So now they have to create this.
No, that's a really good point. And I think this picture that we have over here, that was the first place where we saw it, because this was the day King Charles had his accession council at St. James's Palace. Mm-hmm. And then the Sussexes and the Waleses came out to Greek crowds, and this was the front page of every newspaper, and that created a lot of resentment for people, because in this, like, that very small bubble, they think the front newspapers and the headlines, they are kind of all the world's care about rather than anything else. So they live in this kind of very protected bubble, and that is where I first saw the signs, and it's just gone crazier from there.
They also feel Charles is jealous, I guess, because, you know, in the past it's been said he's been very jealous of, you know, when him and Princess Diana were married and she would steal the spotlight and he wants the spotlight and all this other stuff. And I feel like he kind of understands it because he's been in William's shoes, where, you know, like when he was younger, he was the star. And Princess Diana was the star, and Fergie and Andrew at one point, I mean, not anymore, but were the stars. Younger people are always more enticing, so to speak, to the media than the older ones, than, you know, King Charles and Camilla, as much as I like them. You know, if William and Catherine do something, they're going to take the front page over them.
Of course. And it's, I think, a sign of maturity for them to kind of be like, oh, this is what's happening. And as long as it's good for the monarchy, they're not any kind of more resentment.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, the way I see it, like, the Queen's reign with all its ups and downs, it had a very kind of tragic end in the way that there was so much kind of conflict within the family, and the dignity that the royal family had in 2016, 2017. Was under attack by the time the queen passed away. And that, I think, was a very kind of tragic thing, given for someone who served as sovereign for a record-breaking reign and did, like, such a good job on trying to maintain the status of the monarchy. It's for the fact that she was passed away at a time when there was kind of so much internal fighting within the family, but also on a global stage, the royal family's reputation was under attack. I really find that quite disheartening.
It really, I think the word that you use, tragic, is the correct way to describe exactly the end of her reign. And it's really, I hate to blame, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I blame two people in particular, and I feel like it's really, what's the right word? I guess tragic that she had to die, and Prince Philip had to die, with people believing that they were racists and being hammered in the press. And this was all while they were sick. And Prince Philip was dying, and her reign, the end of her reign, was as the long reign that she had. Like, I feel like at least that last year was kind of like a goodbye party, and I feel like maybe things started to turn around, like the year of her, the Platinum Jubilee. I feel like things started to turn a little bit. But yeah, she died with people talking crap about her, the monarchy that she built from when she was, 25, 26 years old. I feel was in a really bad place when she died, and that's really, really sad.
Definitely. Yeah, no. And I think let's move on to the next slide where we can talk about kind of what's been dominating the royal watching world for the past 3 years, which has been after kind of 2023 being such a busy year with so many kind of record-breaking royal events like the coronation and all these things. We started here with Kate's illness, and then we saw King Charles as first his kind of procedure and then his cancer diagnosis. And that's really dominated the headlines. And their reaction between the two palaces and how they've dealt with this illness has been quite telling as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was working that day, and I was getting texts from people saying like, "Hello, did you see this? Did you see this?" And first it was with Kate. And I was like, "Oh my God." But, I figured the way that they put it out, she wouldn't be seen after, obviously it was a serious surgery if she was going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks. And then recovering for 3 months. Everybody, of course, was speculating. And then, like, what was it, 2 hours later or something, or like later that day, was then he was going in for an enlarged prostate and everything else. And I feel like, and somebody explained this on either Twitter or Instagram, is they're two different people. He is the king. The king needs to be seen. He needs, a little bit more transparency. I think people forget, like, Prince William is not the king. He is the
Yeah.
heir. And people put so much pressure and, on William, that William should be doing this and William should be doing that. He's not the king. King Charles
Exactly.
has to be a little bit more transparent. He has to be seen, like, even going to and from the hospital. William said, I don't know what Kate had. I don't know what kind of abdominal surgery she had. If it is what I think it is, and I don't want to speculate, it is very, very rough. And he probably said, listen, she probably said, I don't want to come out of the hospital looking a mess. I just want privacy. And somebody, I don't know if you follow the Royal Brew. She's a great account. She used to be, I think, a royal reporter. She said all that Kate asked for was 3 months of peace and recovery, and nobody could even give her that. And people don't understand, why is she asking for privacy? And then look at the king, who kind of like said, listen, he has cancer. He's a little, they saw him coming and going from the hospital. It's because he is the monarch. He needs to be seen. Kate does not need to be seen. She needs peace and recovery. And that's the difference, is he needs, as the monarch, he needs to show that, like, he's okay. He's well,
He's the head of state. He has a
out of
constitutional
state.
kind of relevance where Kate is, from a political point of view, has no kind of role in that sense.
No,
So.
not yet. So she, not ever, because she's not going to be a monarch. She'll be a consort. So I feel like I don't know. It's just riled me up the past few weeks with everything going on. It's just been like pure insanity.
So I think in the past couple of weeks, the speculation has really kind of gone to new heights ever since King Charles released a picture seeing all the cards that people sent him. And again, we're talking about how the treatment and their status is so different, but so many people were trying to make a big deal about that and why can't Kate do that? And it created this like media storm and the where's Kate kind of debate that has gone to so many different aspects. I think I had family members who aren't even on social media and they were asking me about it. So it's gone pretty crazy now.
It's gone. The level of insanity over where she is when they told us where she is. Like they literally said, this is what's going to happen. She's going into the hospital. She's going to be there for 14 days. I think, what'd she leave on the 13th day? They sent out a thing. Kate is back home recovering. Thank you for everybody's well wishes. It became, well, we didn't see any pictures of her coming and going. We didn't, King Charles gave a, showing his cards and everything. Why can't she? We haven't seen her at the best. We haven't seen her since December 25th. Where is she? They told us where she is. They told us where she is. It's not at her fault that you cannot comprehend press releases. And the best is, and I'm glad they never caved. I don't know if that paparazzi picture was planned or not. They're saying that it wasn't. I don't think it was, but
I don't
if
think so
it was,
either.
because even there's this one particular woman on Instagram, not Instagram, maybe she is on Instagram. I cannot stand her. Her name is Kristen Meisner. She has a
Oh,
podcast
yeah.
called The Daily Fail or Daily Flop or whatever. Fine. You want to take on the British press? Go for it. I don't care. They're not the heroes in anybody's story. But she put out something the other day about Kate. And I think it was Emily Andrews that clapped back at her and said, this, oh, because she said that they should, when they're going to put out, Kristen Meisner said, if they're going to put if Kensington Roy, Kensington Palace is going to release a picture of her, like they could do better. And she showed like pictures of her, like because it was from a long range lens, which proves it was a paparazzi, not,
And yeah.
So I think it was Emily Andrews that said, like, this was not a planned shot, shot. It was a paparazzi. And if it was planned, the palace wouldn't have told them. I don't know if it was the palace that told them, but just the fact that they were pretty much told, do not publish it. This photo was not approved by us and whatever. So I believe her. I don't think that it was, but if, it's just reached a level of insanity. And I will say some of the memes and stuff were like funny, but when it got like, I don't know if you saw my post the other day. Of course, I went on today because I never keep to my word. The thing that got me was when they started going after Prince William and saying that he beat her. And when Thomas Kingston died, there
Oh
was
yeah, that
this
was.
whole rumor that was started that she was pregnant with Tom Kingston's. I mean, this is how crazy it got, that she was pregnant with Tom Kingston's baby and Prince William. That's why he missed King Constantine's service of Thanksgiving, even though it was actually he passed away on a different day. That he went and like killed Tom Kingston. Like, this is how crazy and out there that it's gotten. And like you said earlier, it's not just people on social media. Like the media is talking about it. Celebrities are talking about it. It's just gotten crazy. And it all goes back to the fact that they already told us where she was. There's nothing to think, she's somewhere else, or there's something nefarious going on, or any conspiracies. It's literally she's at home recovering, and she deserves to be at home and recovering in privacy, you know, or she had a nervous breakdown, or the best is she had a BBL. So people are saying, even today, like I went on for a little while and I had to get off because people, of course, now they released this picture today. And people have been asking for proof of life for 3 months and blah, blah, blah. They finally released a picture and everybody's picking it apart. It's AI. Why are Kate's hands blurry? Why is she not wearing a wedding ring? Oh, Prince Charlotte's sleeve looks weird by her hand. Why are Prince Louis's fingers crossed? Kids move. I'm sure they weren't staying perfectly. I mean, you could see like Prince Louis was laughing. They're all laughing. Like kids move, things get blurred. And you know what? If they wanted to do a little Photoshop to like make Kate look nicer, maybe she's a little bit pale, or maybe Charlotte's hand was doing something weird, or they just cropped it. Like people do that when they take pictures. Like you're putting this picture out for the world to see. But it just goes to show that nobody's ever happy. There'll always be somebody to complain about something. So, you know, people have been asking for proof of life. They finally show proof of life, which is a ridiculous thing to say. And that's not even good enough. It's just, it's insane. It's been insane. That's why I respect Prince William for standing his ground and saying, you know what, this is what we're doing. She wants 3 months off to recover from whatever major surgery that she had. And that's it. That's it. You're not getting anything. They even put out a third press release to like page six or something and said, like, we already said, she's
that was it.
Privacy. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I hope that she's not seen for until she's ready to come back, because even when she is seen and they put out like a really beautiful picture of her and the kids, oh, well, even the press, I think, said that it was taken last week. People will, why is there too many leaves on the trees? And why is the grass green? And this doesn't look like it was taken last week.
Yeah.
It's just nobody's ever satisfied or happy.
And they have to get everything. Yeah.
That's what kills me. And none of these people would be saying these things to anybody's face. That's what kills me. There's too many of like these keyboard warriors that really feel like they're entitled to say whatever they want. And it's under the guise of free speech, free speech. Okay. But this is like a human being and a real person that probably has had major, major surgery. She doesn't deserve privacy. And the people, well, we pay for them. What do you pay? $2 a year? I mean, I don't know how much they pay. I thought it was like a pound something a year.
That's 60p.
A buck,
one. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you feel, Sam, you're entitled to know all her medical information because you pay less than £2 a year?
Oh, God, no.
You know, that's why I just don't, it's insane. And then with the whole where's Kate thing, and like I said, some of the memes were funny, but then some of them were just really vicious, and it comes down to like now all these rumors are being spread. And people, like, there's a particular squad that's out there that were posting pictures of her, like memes of her, like beaten up, like William beat her and all this other stuff, rather than just saying like, okay, maybe she just had surgery and she's recovering. Like, it's not nefarious. It's not always conspiracy. Maybe she just had surgery and she doesn't feel like telling you what that surgery is. Maybe it's embarrassing for her. Maybe it's traumatic and she needs to process it herself. I do think that she will eventually say what it was. I think maybe she'll latch on to some sort of, or join up with some sort of charity or organization that has something to do with what she had. If I think it's what she had, I don't know. But honestly, with all the stress and stuff that she's probably been under for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, especially the past couple of months with a book coming out and all these rumors stirred around about her, I can't imagine that her mental health is in like the greatest of places. So I swear, even if she had like her appendix out and just wanted to take off 2 months for mental health reasons and never tell the world about it, I really wouldn't care because it's none of my business. And it kills me that a lot of these people aren't even British. They're from either America or wherever else. Like you probably see me on Twitter, like, okay, Nancy from Florida. I'm sure really cares about your opinion. Like, why do you care where she is? Why do you care? Or the best is everybody's left. There's nobody here. Like, and then like King Charles is doing a meeting the next day and Prince William is, you know, doing his thing. I mean, there's still people out there. Just this life happens and stuff happens and they're allowed to have some privacy. I don't understand this thing where people feel that they're entitled to know everything. Like, she's allowed to have her privacy. And I truly believe that King Charles wants her to have that privacy. I do. I don't think that he's against that or that he hates, you know, that there's this rivalry between him and Camilla and Kate and William. I just don't believe that. So this Where's Kate thing has really riled me up. I'm sorry if I've gone off on like a little bit of a tangent. I won't even go through the terrible hashtags people have been using and really disgusting from one side, the memes and really nasty things that they've been doing. But one person did say that she was at that Willy Wonka thing in Scotland and put a picture of her. And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I don't mind the funny stuff.
Yeah.
But it's when you get like downright vicious. Like, I think she was probably on social media laughing at some of the silly things. But when you get into things and accuse people of doing things to her, to me, that's just, you're crossing the line. It really has been. And I guarantee none of these people would have the courage to say what they're saying to her face.
Of course.
You know? Sorry.
But then, because of their kind of rhetoric, it does eventually go back to affect her because there's no doubt that she's kind of aware of what's been going on.
Exactly. And that's why William is probably like, frig all of you. We're keeping our privacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I think like he came out for some engagement or something and they made a whole fuss about that and started asking him questions about where's Kate? Oh. Which, yeah. So I don't blame him. And then he went to the BAFTAs and there are certain people on here, which we'll discuss later, but that had a kind of dangerous rhetoric about it and how they had all sorts of opinions. So even when he is coming in public, no one's really happy. So better off he just take care of his wife and commit to what he's doing. And then you also have to remember that Kate is like the world's most photographed woman. And that paparazzi photo, there's so many people kind of criticizing her appearance. So if I were her, I would not want to come back in public eye unless I'm looking 100% like myself.
Yeah. People are never, they're never happy. They're never going to be happy. So you might as well just stay hidden because even, like I said, when you show yourself, they still have something negative to say. So I really hope that she gets the rest and the relaxation.
Yeah.
And recovery that she needs, and she comes back whenever she's ready, not being forced to come back because of idiots on Twitter are demanding it, you know?
Exactly. Now that's your point there. Because like when I saw the news, both King Charles and Kate, my first thought was, okay, well, I wish them all the best, but I didn't really think about it at all. And I just pushed it to the back. I didn't make an article on it. I didn't make a statement on social media anywhere. Just kind of moved on with it. But then people have been so obsessed by and thinking about it continuously. And I'm like, don't you have anything better? Like, this is what I do for a living. And I don't really care or I'm affected by it. Why are you so invested? And where's Kate? And how can you get clout for just making a big fuss about it?
Yeah. One of my friends had texted me and said, are you going to cover this on your Instagram? And it was like how like all the different conspiracy theories, and I said absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely not. She's home. That's it. She's home. I refuse to give stupidity attention. I can't.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think now
podcast where I'm rambling on, but I just
no, that's great. No, I think you really summed it up very well, because this is something that Sam and I haven't addressed on the podcast yet. So I think this is a very good way of having kind of your opinion, and you really summed it up amazingly well for us, and exactly what we think as well.
Thank you.
Definitely. So I think now that we've talked about the Windsors, let's move on to, in the next slide, the kind of better world of the foreign royals and kind of what's happening in royals around the world. We began the year with the abdication of Queen Margaret of Denmark. Mm-hmm. And since then, there's not really been much going on, but kind of what has your kind of highlight been covering in the past few years, like international royal events? And what do you think that you kind of learn about different countries and cultures from a kind of your work as a royal watcher?
I have to tell you, I've learned a lot about the Malaysian royals from you and from the Royal Brew, who is Malaysian. She kind of explained how they switch every 5 years and all that stuff. But I really got into the Malaysian royals, and I know you've met Queen Aziza.
Yes, so. Sam and I both, actually.
Mm. So, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was.
So. Yeah, I'd say that was kind of one of the best birthday presents I've ever had.
Yeah, that's exciting. She just seems like a very down to earth, like nice, normal lady. I love when they put pictures up and like she's like hugging her husband, and you know, she seems like very family oriented. And I loved like especially during COVID and stuff, I loved following her because she was like making food for everybody. I don't know if is her Instagram account gone?
Yes, she has. Okay. She had a public one, which there were a bunch of trolls, and that's why she stopped that. But she still posts a lot on her private Instagram account. And it's like, it's very unfiltered. So you get a glimpse of everything from like, she's in hospital having surgery on something, up to she's making breakfast for the king and that sort of thing. So it's, and then she goes into the vault and takes out tiaras, and she posts pictures of jewels, her and her daughter's trying out different jewels and outfits before galas and stuff. So wow. It's very like an unprecedented look into a royal life.
Lucky you. I don't think I follow her I don't have access to her private Instagram.
Yeah, she has, I believe, about 100 people that follow her, and I'm very lucky to be among those people.
Yeah, she just looks like a really nice, they both look like really nice people, her. And now they're back in. Now, is she considered now the Queen of Pahang?
Yes. So okay. That's so internationally, that's a title, because the Malaysian title is a bit more complicated, but that's what it translates to. So.
Yeah, it's very confusing. And I know people have tried to explain it to me, and I still don't get it. But I learn something new every day. But I really have gotten into them. I always loved the Jordanian royals. You know, Prince King Abdullah. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He is my favorite. I just think he is so handsome. I just feel like his 25th anniversary of, or his, what is 20, his 25th jubilee.
Yes, the silver jubilee year.
So that was exciting, but I feel like kind of with everything going on in the world and with the war and stuff, I feel like it was kind of overshadowed.
Yeah, I think they had, when his, it was his 10th anniversary, they had like a big parade, but it wasn't during the summertime, so we do have a bit of hope still yet. But in the summertime, they had a big parade, and Rania wore a tiara.
Oh, wow. So maybe they'll do that again.
Yeah, but it was like the political situation in the Middle East right now is not the best. So probably, if it's not better by June, which we hope it is, but I think there are chances that they might do something. There's National Day at the end of this month, and they could do something kind of big grand for that, but probably will be still on a much smaller scale than what it could have been.
Yeah. And like the royal weddings the past few years with, you know, the picture here with Crown Prince Hussein and his sister, them getting married, the 18th birthdays of like future monarchs with like Prince Christian and Princess Ingrid Alexandra.
Yeah, and then also the Jubilees. So we've had
all the Jubilees. So it's been fun. And obviously Frederick's wasn't like a coronation, but that was really exciting. And Sam, you were there. That must have been exciting.
That was fantastic. Cold, but amazing.
And I know you're like me, you don't like crowds. Because I know I was watching your Instagram stories.
I never thought I was, to be honest with you, I never thought I was that bad. And it was just the case that like we just didn't realize how many people were behind us. So when you finally realized, you turned around, and I stupidly booked my flight for like 6 o'clock. I was like, oh God, I need to get to an airport. I can't go in there.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's sister was there. She didn't even know. She's not like, she follows me and like her friends follow me and everything. And she loves royal news, but she was there and she's like, oh my God, I think there's going to be a king this week. And somebody sent a pastry up to my hotel with like his monogram on it. She's like, is there a coronation? I was like, oh my God. And then you think like in your head, like you said earlier, Saad, that we're in like this bubble and we kind of know what's going on and other people just don't. And sometimes I forget that and forget that people don't know, you know.
It's kind of like whenever something royal goes off on Twitter and people are like, and you know that I think it's like whenever they use the wrong titles and you're just like, no, that's not how it works. How can you not understand how the 1917 Titles Act works?
Oh, I get some of those. That happens to me, Sam, sometimes. There's one account in particular. I won't say his name, not you, Saad. That I feel like he's kind of a new follower. And I started following him. He's got a lot of followers. Like every time I do a story, he critiques every single thing I do, everything I write. If I don't, you know, I have lots of typos. I don't know why I do, but I just do. So anytime there's like a little typo, anytime that I don't see things perfectly, he's constantly correcting me and it drives me crazy. So I try not to do that to other people ever. Mm-hmm.
It's very annoying, and it's like, because I know you write about it a bit, and whenever I see, oh, there's a typo, I always make sure like to go forward in your stories because you've probably corrected it later on. Because I'm like, you've been receiving like comments on that sort of thing from a lot of people.
Oh my God, that's why I have to. Sometimes it kills me that when people watch like highlights, and it's like somebody new and they watch it and then I'll get messages like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, like typos. And it's like a spelling typo. It's not a factual typo. And it's like, honey, I did this like 148 weeks ago. I can't switch it. Just read through the typos. It's fine. So I'm not like a typo person. Like there's sometimes that I don't know something and I'll say, I don't know. And sometimes you, Saad, have been kind enough to give me information, but you're always nice about it. But some people are just mean and rude. And you know, I'm not perfect. I'm American. I'm not saying I'm new to royal watching, but beyond the royal, you know, the British royal family, some of it is new for me and I'm learning new things every day. And people just do not give you any grace. It's really, it's crazy, but it's been fun learning about new, you know, not many new, like more of like the Middle Eastern royals.
So have you had any experience being in New York City of seeing a lot of royals? Because that is one of those hubs where royals are constantly going to or from, and they're there for the UN week and then they have visits and stuff. Have you had much opportunity, or do you kind of avoid those crowds as well?
No, I usually find out after, or if it's by the UN, you really can't get near there. And it's, I feel like sometimes it's in like, if it's really cold out, I'm not going. But like there was times like King Felipe, I don't know if you know, King Felipe is my number one favorite royal. I think he is so handsome. Purple in person. And he was in New York City for like 3 days and I didn't know till after. And I was so angry because where he was, I could have seen him. Or like Sophie was there. And I literally am like, there's a subway stop that's, you know, 4 blocks from my house. Like it's very easy for me to get into the city. But I did see Prince William. Prince William's the only one that I've seen in real life. And Kate, when Kate came into New York City, I did wait for her in the that's why I will never do that again. Freezing cold for hours to see her for like literally 2 seconds. And then an ambulance blocked us because at that time she was pregnant with Princess Charlotte. So an ambulance followed her wherever she went. And we were kind of, we weren't allowed, they were in Harlem in, I forget where they were. And it, we had like the perfect view. And then the motorcade came and the ambulance came and it blocked us. And I was like, no, but we saw her for like 2 seconds. She waved, she went in. And when she came out, the ambulance really blocked us. So we didn't get to see her. So I'm like, if it is not a nice day out and I know, you know, I'm going to be standing for like a really long time, I'm not doing it. But I definitely have to pay more attention. Usually I find out after the fact that they're there or during, and then I don't know where they are exactly. But then
I have to really like follow the calendars, because with like the Danes and the Spanish, they're very good with like releasing addresses and locations of where everyone will be. Other royals are a bit difficult with.
I'm going to have to start looking more into that, because if King Felipe comes in, I'm definitely going to.
I'm going to keep an eye on the calendars. Any royal visits, I'm sending your way.
Please do. Him or King Abdullah. If he comes in, I would love to see him. Or any, really anybody. I know Sophie was in New York City for something. And I found out later, in after they like posted about it, I was like, oh my God, like I could have gone in to see her. You know, and Sharon, that does Royally Inspired. Like she's one of my personal friends, and she's like my little royal partner in crime because she's in the city. So we try, like when Fergie was in, we got to see her at her like book signing. She pays more attention to the stuff than me, but yeah. We did, the only one was Prince William, but I'm hoping to hopefully see more in the future.
I've heard from some sources that the Danish King and Queen will be in New York sometime in November for the American Scandinavian Foundation Gala. So,
okay.
And you could have, and then in November every year, the Dutch Princess Margriet, she attends a gala at the Waldorf, and she wears a tiara for that. So,
okay. So I'm going to have to, a lot of times they block it off so far that you can't really see, but maybe these are, you know, I'm gonna have
these to are minor royals, so
that might not be as bad. I'm surprised we got so up close and personal with Prince William that day, when he was in for Earthshot.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy because Sam and I, we had when on the night before the coronation, I kind of knew from some sources that all the foreign heads of state were going to be attending this dinner in London after their Buckingham Palace reception. And we just stood on the pavement. We were the only ones there. There were like a couple hundred thousand people camped out 2 blocks away. And all these kings and queens and I think the main members of the royal family, except Kate and William and Charles and Camilla, all of them were there. And we were like, I think among like 10 people there. And it was the most surreal experience.
Wow.
And
right. That's so lucky. Well, you deserve, if anybody deserves to see all those people, you do. That's for sure.
Oh, I think that was the highlight for Sam and I, really. Before, and that was like just a few days before we met the Queen of Malaysia. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
so
that was we were a bit roiled out after that.
Yeah, I think that was so. Even though it was like May and it was summertime, but the kind of temperature was all right at the start, and then it was like raining so heavily between while we were still waiting there. But the whole experience was so worth it that the next day I just decided not to even like camp out. Even though I went to London to attend the coronation, I was like, I'm not going to camp out or wait for hours just to see the carriage pass by. I'd much rather see it from like a friend's apartment that was right by. And I was like, we watch it on TV and have a nice day with friends who'd kind of traveled from around the world to see that.
You were lucky because
we've already seen on the royals, and I was like, it won't get any better than that to stand in the pouring rain for like 6 hours.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Well, I'm glad you guys had that experience. It must have been something.
No, and I think it's been absolutely lovely talking to you today. And I think I speak for those of us and say we'd love to have you back sometime soon and discuss more.
Absolutely. I would love that.
So where can people find you? No, it's been a pleasure. Where can people find you on social media?
So I am on Instagram at nyc.royalwatcher. I'm also on Twitter. I'm a little bit more vocal on Twitter, but I've tried to like break away from there because it just makes it's not only a toxic environment, but it also makes me a toxic individual too. Because then I wind up fighting with people, but I'm also there at the same handle, nyc.royalwatcher.
Wonderful. And we'll have all of those linked in the description. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Saad. And Sam, thank you.
Thank you.